If you go to Matthew chapter 14, that's where we're going to be this evening, and we'll get into our message tonight. I've only got 4 points on paper tonight, and I'd like to share a few thoughts with you that came about a little bit from something that I had noticed today, and we'll get into that in just a moment, and I'll kind of give you an idea of where I'm coming from as far as the message is concerned. Number one, and this isn't the message, I should say tonight, that I did notice that even on the way to church tonight, that we pass churches that are not even having church tonight. And they have given up on Sunday nights and have basically just thrown in the towel and basically have said it's no use, nobody's going to come on a Sunday night. We're lucky if we get them here on a Sunday morning. And God forbid that we could get them to come twice on a Sunday. And so they have just caved in, I guess, in many ways, and have just given up even on Sunday night service. And that's sad tonight. I hate to see, even though I have disagreements with other churches and different denominations and probably some very drastic differences, but I think it just kind of shows tonight a little bit of where we're at in this country that we live in. Now, Dollar General was booming when I passed by there. There's a gentleman, he's mowing his yard. He was on a John Deere lawnmower. He's mowing his yard. And I also passed a couple of young boys. I don't know. They might have been 10 or 12 years of age. Two of them walking down the sidewalk tonight. And it's just sad that very few have any knowledge or even a desire to know anything about God tonight. And that's sad tonight. We're going to kind of tie that in tonight as well. Let's pray. We'll get into our message. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that we do have. We pray that you would take the next few moments that we have together. And God, as we come back tonight, as we close out our day tonight, we pray for your blessings upon the hour. We pray that you bless once again your word. And we pray that you would, Lord, take what we find and what we learn. And Lord, may it motivate us to realize that, yes, the day may be dark, but God, you are a shining light. And Lord, may that light shine through us to this world. And may we make a difference in this world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this afternoon, after the service this morning, I went to Captain D's to eat lunch. I don't know what, does anybody know what D's stands for? I don't even know, but I like shrimp. And so I thought, I'm going to go get a lot of shrimp today. And so I went there and chose to eat there today and to eat lunch. And while sitting there, I had received my food, and I was in the dining area by myself there eating, and I got to just watching people. If you watch people, you'll learn a lot. And it can be quite comical at times. And I was just watching people as I was waiting on my food. I had to wait just a few minutes, not long. And even as I ate, and even a moment or two after that, I was just watching everybody that had come in. And it was packed. It was a full restaurant today. But I got to looking and watching people. And even watching people, you can tell a lot about a person just by their actions, the way they look. You can tell who went to church and who didn't go to church this morning. As I was looking through, there were 15 different families eating as I was eating, not including myself. I would have made the 16th one. Anyway, I was watching all the different families that had come in and sat down, and I noticed many things. I noticed an older gentleman that came through, and he had a suit coat on. It was tan and tan pants, and his wife, and I could tell they had been to church. And I noticed on his lapel he had a big American flag right there, and I thought he probably watched what I watched this morning, got as mad as I did, and put an American flag on his suit this morning. And I was just kind of watching people, and they were there. And as I mentioned, I counted 15 families. And I was telling my wife today, I was telling Patty today, that out of those 15 families, seven of them had children. Seven. So about half of the groups that were there today had children with them. And then I was noticing, and I was watching even the children, and a few of them were teenagers, and it's amazing. You had young children there with their families and so forth, and they're talking and active. And I watched the teenagers, and they never say a word. They're on their phone the entire time as everybody is eating. You can kind of relate and know what I'm talking about there and how that they're so disconnected to life. So I was watching, and I began to eat my meal, and I noticed something today that struck me very, very odd today. Out of seven families, only one of those groups. Now, I'm putting them in categories as tables here. Only one of the seven were actually with their mom and their dad. I watched and I noticed and I began to count. The other six that had children at the table, they were with their grandparents. Now, I'm perfectly glad that there are grandparents that take, no doubt, their grandchildren to church. But I said, and I began to wonder a little bit, what's going to happen when the grandparent generation passes off the scene? Because if the odds are correct, now there may be a differences of why they were with their grandparents. Maybe their parents went to church, but they chose to go home, and maybe a few of them went with their grandparents. But as I was watching, I got to thinking to myself, most of those children are going to church somewhere with their grandparents. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I applaud any grandparent that takes their grandchild to church. And maybe they were just spending the weekend with them. I understand all that. But I am saying tonight that out of seven, only one was there without being with their grandparents. Now, I just believe tonight that as time goes along and when the grandparents are no longer there to take them to church, who's going to take them to church? I don't know that, and I don't want to be doom and gloom tonight, but I just don't know how much longer this nation is going to be able to continue with the collision course that we're on spiritually in this nation. You see, I'm a firm believer mom and dad ought to take their children to church. If a child just lives with their mom, then mom ought to take them to church. If they just live with their dad, they ought to take them to church. If they live with their grandparents, and we see that quite often now, they ought to go to church. But I noticed that it was the older generation in the restaurant that was taking their children to church. And I'm worried and concerned of where are we going to be in 10 years. And I know we think, oh, 10 years, that's a long time. Oh, my, 10 years is so quick. And then I began to even think a little bit as I drove home, and even on the way to church would even kind of clarify a little bit of how difficult it has become just to get people to come to church. I mean, let's be honest tonight. It's not an easy task to get people to come to church tonight. You'll get rejected many times over, and it's not that we shouldn't invite people to church, but I'm just being honest, it's not an easy task. If it was easy, church houses would be full tonight. And why is it? Why is it society is so disconnected from the church? When, I mean, we just go back, even many of you could testify that when you were a child, I mean, most everybody went to church. Church houses were full. Church houses were alive. Church houses were, I mean, that's just where you went on Sunday because that's the way you were raised. Your mom and dad went to church. You went to church, and churches were doing well. But why is it now that there is such a disconnect from people and church? Why is it that one man will choose to mow his lawn tonight and another man will choose to go to church tonight, but we'll find that the ones that choose to go to church tonight are very far and few and in between? I'd venture to say there's probably more people mowing their lawn right now that's in the house of God in our county. You know as well as I do, we could go to Walmart, and there's a lot of people at Walmart that chose not to go to church tonight. And why is that? Why is it that people don't want to get close to God? And my mind went to this chapter 14 here of Matthew, and I want to just share a few thoughts with you tonight. In fact, I actually began with a title before I actually even did the message of why is it that some people refuse or don't want to get close to God? There are people tonight that do not want to get close to God. Now, I'm the opposite. I want to be close to God. I think there's no better place in all the world to be close to God. I think it's the safest place to be in all the world, and that is close to God. I want to be close to God. I want God to be close to me. But why is it that the generation that we live in and the majority of people tonight have no desire whatsoever to go to the house of God to hear the preaching of the Word of God so that they in return may find a way to be even more close to God than they were before they came? that whether we want to admit it or not, most people tonight don't want to be close to God. Now, I'm going to take Matthew chapter 14 tonight, and I'm going to use it a little bit in a different direction. In fact, out of this chapter here, and even the scripture that I'm going to read tonight, I've actually preached different messages from this chapter in this passage. I've heard other preachers preach out of this passage as well. And that is going to be where Jesus Christ comes walking on water to the ship, and he asks of the disciples to come out of the ship. And we find that there is one that does step out, and we have to give him credit tonight. He does walk on water for a short period of time. I've actually taken the same passage and preached many times about the different troubles that the disciples found themselves in that night. I've actually preached messages about Peter and how that he was willing to step out of that boat and step out on water. But I'm going to go a different direction tonight, and I think you'll understand when I begin here. But let's look at Matthew chapter 14. We'll read a few verses here. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes of way. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night," which most people believe that's about 3 a.m., "Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples," and you notice there it is plural in verse 26, because all the disciples that are in the ship, they saw him walking on the sea, and were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, in verse 27, which indicates he's talking to all of them in the ship, and he says, "Be of good cheer," in verse 27, "It is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I want to take these verses that we just read. We began in verse 22, and I read down through verse 33 here. But I want to take my focus, and if you would kind of venture with me just for a moment. I'm not going to focus necessarily on Jesus tonight. I'm not going to necessarily focus as much on Peter tonight. But I think we often forget that out of all the disciples that were in that ship, all of them chose to stay, only one chose to get out. So why is it? What is it that made Peter so different that he was willing to take a risk of walking on water because he had such a desire to want to be close to Jesus? Is it that there's something in the life of the others that hindered them from making that venture or making that step of faith, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, to step out and have enough faith that they can actually walk on water? Because it's very obvious they see Jesus walking on water, and if he can do it, then maybe we can do it. But I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about why some people just don't want to get close to God. We find here that there were some disciples that didn't have enough desire to get out of that ship that night. Now, it could be for many reasons, and I'm even speculating of why maybe they chose not to. But we find here that only one chooses to get out of the ship, and that's Peter here. Was Peter some miraculous person? Was he better than the others? Was he more spiritual than the others? Or was he somebody special made from God? No, he was just an ordinary man that just had a strong desire to be close to Jesus, and he chooses to step out on water. And the Bible says he does walk on water. But what made him different? What is it that caused him to step out all the others decided that I'm staying in. So I began to think about that today, and we find here that out of this passage, we find one of the disciples' hunger and his desire to be close to Jesus Christ. We also find in the same passage there was a lack of desire, and maybe their desire wasn't as strong maybe as it was in the life of Peter to make that step, so they choose to stay inside the ship. Now, you know, we live in a day when it's hard to find people who want to go to church, much less want to be close to God. Even in preaching, you know, I think preaching ought to motivate us. It ought to create a desire in our heart to be more like Christ, to love him more, to serve him better. Preaching ought to motivate people to want to pray and help people and witness to people. And that's what preaching ought to do. Now, we live in a day and age, there's a lot of different styles of preaching today. I classify a lot of times different people, but you know, I classify some preachers, they're pamper preachers. They're always pampering everybody. Joel Osteen, he would be a pampering preacher to me. He just smiles. He's just, you know, patting you on the back and trying to convince you of how good you are. You know, sometimes I don't need to be told I'm good because I know I'm not good. Sometimes I need to be told, you know what, I'm a low-down sinner that needs to be saved, or I need the grace of God, or I may need the forgiveness of God. And, this world's full of a lot of pampering preachers, just pampering. I am not a pampering person. I call them performance preachers. They're entertainment preachers. They have big churches and they're entertainment centers and he entertains them and there's no substance there. There's no doctrine there. There's no depth to what they believe. But, well, there's a lot of entertainment going on. And then I classify pushy preachers. I mean, they push you to pray. They tell you ought to read your Bible. They tell you that you ought to live right. You ought to witness to people. You ought to give. You ought to be part of missions. You ought to give your life to God. And they push you to do all those. And by the way, that's a good thing. But of all the disciples in that ship, only one steps out. For whatever reason, and we don't know, they would have to get here and testify why they chose not to. Now, I could speculate. Some of them say because Peter's crazy. That's why I didn't get out. But one thing you got to say about Peter, he wanted to be close to Jesus Christ. If Jesus was willing to go out and walk on water, he was willing to go out there and give it a good try and walk with him, because Peter, even with all his faults, and even though he was someone that put his foot in his mouth an awful lot, you've got to give some credit here that Peter is someone who wanted to be close to Jesus that night. I don't know that I can say that about all the others. You see, today we live in a day and age where people are comfortable and we have our comfort zones, and we find that the other disciples, they chose to stay in the boat. So what is it that hinders some people from wanting to be close to God? What makes a family decide that I would rather stay home than go and try to get close to God? I would rather go to Walmart than go to the house of God. I'd rather do whatever they may be doing tonight other than go into the house of God. Why is it that some people just don't want to be close to God? I got four reasons why I believe it may be so. Number one, in order for you to get close to God, and this doesn't, this may not apply to everybody, but it probably applies to a few here tonight, you're going to have to be willing, you will have to be willing to leave your friends and maybe even your family. Would you hear me tonight? There are times where people have a difficult time becoming involved in the work of God, and as I would classify, getting close to God, because in order for them to do that, they would have to sever ties with some of their friends. Or even in some instances, it may be even a family member that they may have to sever a little bit there, and that's not easy to do because, let's be honest, most people tonight want the approval of mankind tonight. And we don't like sometimes when some relationships have to be severed because of maybe their direction of their life or the lifestyle they live. You know, there's just some people tonight I can't be close friends with.
Their lifestyle is such that it doesn't compare or doesn't, they're not, I guess I could say, they're not headed down the same road that I'm trying to head down in life. I mean, they're headed down the road, as the Bible classified, of destruction, and I'm not going in that direction. I'm trying to go down the road of a life of living for God, and we need to make sure we understand there may be sometimes your friends may have to be severed in your relationship. Don't allow anyone tonight to hinder you from serving God. I mean, if someone is standing between you and you serving God, you better choose God, dear friend, over your friend, because they're not really your friend. Sometimes, you ever found this to be true? Sometimes people don't mind when you get saved and maybe an individual gets their life kind of turned around and maybe they get out of a life of alcohol or a very ungodly lifestyle or drugs or whatever that case may be and gets their life kind of turned around and gets it back on the right direction, and they're okay with that. But you know, sometimes they're okay with it. It's just when you get too saved, they don't like it. You know, you understand where I'm coming from tonight. They're okay with you going to church on Sunday morning, but you know, you don't have to go all the time. You ever had family members question you sometimes? Why do you think you got to go all the time? You know, you're always down at that church house all the time. I mean, you're always, you know, if that preacher got up and asked you to come on a Saturday, you'd go on Saturday. You see, they don't mind you getting saved. They just don't want you to get too saved. And then, lo and behold, your life starts to change. Now you're a holy roller. Now you're Holy Joe. Now you think you're better than everybody else. Listen, you can't allow that racket of the world to distort what you're here for in this life, and your life is here for a purpose, and that is to serve God. And there's going to be times when some people just don't want to get close to God because they may have to give up a friend. Now, we always talk about young people and how young people ought to choose friends wisely. And by the way, that is very, very true. But you know what? Same principle applies for adults as well. I've often wondered sometimes how a mom or a dad can teach their child, you know, you don't want to be friends with them. They're troublemakers. And their best friend is a troublemaker. Hey, if it applies, I've always found this to be very, very true. If it's good for a teenager, it's good for mom and dad too. Be careful who your friends are. And there's just going to be some people in this world, they don't want to get close to God, because if they get close to God, they may have to find themselves severing a relationship with a friend. Now, Peter's the only one that gets out of the boat here tonight, as we find in our passage here. And guess what? He looks around and he finds himself all by himself. And serving God, you're going to find there's going to be times that you're going to be by yourself. Not everybody's going to be encouraged because of your service to God. You're going to find that sometimes it's a little lonely in serving God. Sometimes you may step out of the boat and you look around and all your buddies, they stayed in the boat. By the way, Peter's got friends in the boat. Peter's got business partners in the boat. They chose not to get out. But I do have to give Peter some credit here. Now, he gets a lot of flack, and a lot of preachers preach a kind of negative about Peter, and there's a lot of negative things there to preach about, but he did walk on water, dear friend. You see, a lot of people say, well, Jesus Christ, he's the only one that ever walked on water. Well, you know what? I kind of beg a difference here a little bit. Peter walked on water for a period of time. And it wasn't anything about Peter. It was all about God, and it's all about Jesus right here. Now, you know, some people, you know, come on, stupid ideas. Well, you know, he really didn't walk on water. You know, the water was so shallow there that it was only about an inch deep. Are you that stupid? I mean, they got out of a boat. You're not going to put 12 men in a boat and it floating 2 inches of water. I can tell you that right now. All the disciples, look at it, it's very, very key. You'll find here, I want you to note here, verse number 26, the Bible says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea. You see, in verse 26, all the disciples see it. It's not that Peter's the only one that saw. All of the disciples saw Jesus Christ walking on water. Now, they get confused about who it is. You'll find here that in verse 26, they were troubled, saying it is a spirit. They've been watching too many of them creepy movies.
And they're troubled, and it's a spirit. Some of them think it's a ghost. But Peter knew who it was. Are you listening to me tonight? The Bible says here in verse number 26, and when the disciples, all of them, saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You'll find in verse 27 that Jesus Christ spoke to all the disciples. All of them saw, they get troubled. Jesus in verse 27 speaks back to all of them, but only one gets out of the ship. Only one. You see, only one disciple gets out of the ship, and you find that in verse number 28. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, he knew who it was. I mean, that's the Lord. And what is it that made him understand who it is? Is it by the voice of verse 27? Is it the words that Jesus Christ says? I don't know. All I know is that Peter in verse 28 said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. Come on out. Do you understand tonight that every one of those disciples could have walked on water that night? But only one walks. Nobody that remains in that ship. I don't know if it was their desire. They just, you know, was it fear? I mean, we could speculate on a lot of things of why some of them didn't get out of that ship that night. At least one did. You see, tonight, we may have to be like Peter. And we may have to be willing to step out of the ship and leave some friends behind. I know in my own personal life, there are people because of the life that I live and because of the life they choose to live, we just can't be best friends. It's not that I'm rude to them. It's not that I'm better than them. It's not that I'm not cordial to them. It's not that I don't say hello and shake their hand. How you doing? That's fine. But you know what? I can't get much further than that because your lifestyle and the direction you're going in life would drag me in a direction that I don't want to go. Number two. What is it that causes people not to want to get close to God? It could be tonight because it's a lack of faith. I believe tonight that many of those disciples, and I don't know if it's to be true about all of them, and I'm speculating tonight, but I believe there's some of them that are still sitting in that ship that night because they didn't have the faith that they could walk on water. Now, I thought to myself, if I were in that ship tonight, would I step out? You got to realize the whole setting, and I didn't give you all the setting of the storm and the night and all that was going on, and they're spooked. Man, one of them said it was a ghost outside there, and a lot of things happening that night, but I'd like to think that I'd get out of the ship. You got to realize we don't have life vests. You got to realize it's in the darkest time of the night. It's a storm. And jumping out of a boat in the middle of a storm, middle of the night, doesn't usually work out too good. I don't know, maybe I might put one foot out and try it a little bit. I don't know. But Peter was the only one who had enough faith to step out of the boat. With all the mistakes that Peter's made in his life, he at least had enough faith to get out of the boat. The other ones didn't. How often are we hindered in life from getting close to God because we just lack the faith? How many people tonight are not in the house of God? They do not serve God. They're not close to God tonight because they just don't have enough faith that they can do something like that. You know, we accomplish usually very little in life because often we lack faith. You see, tonight, inside the boat, that's where the security was at. Tonight, in the passage we just read, staying in the boat is the safe place. It's the more comfortable place. It's the place of security for them. But Peter was willing enough to give up all the security and the comfort and the safety that he had inside that ship, and he was willing to step out on faith and trust Jesus, because Jesus only said one thing to him, one word, come.
Jesus doesn't say put a life vest on first. He doesn't say be careful. Jesus doesn't give him instructions. Jesus doesn't have to give him a long lesson about faith and how you need to step out. Jesus only says in verse number 29, come. And Peter has enough faith to trust Jesus and step out. Brother Richardson mentioned this morning, I think maybe in about 6 months, we'll have a missions conference here and our church is at what we call Faith Promise. We talk about faith. We teach about faith. We preach about faith. I was listening the other night to Lester Roloff. He preached all the time on faith. He's saying all the time, living by faith. And he lived on faith. What is faith? I read a quote not too long ago, and I kind of memorized it, and I think I may have it word for word here. And I don't remember who said it. It might have been Lester Roloff that made the comment. Let me tell you what faith is. Here's what Lester Roloff said. I think it was in his message. He said, faith is when you're willing to go to a place in life by the guidance of God that is humanly impossible. And I got to thinking about that. That is faith. Faith is when you go somewhere in life that's humanly possible, impossible, I should say. Humanly impossible that you could ever accomplish it. It's humanly impossible that you could ever go there. But you find that Jesus carries you to that place. That's faith. Lester Roloff the other night, I like listening to Lester Roloff. That guy, he preached against everything. I mean, he preached against preachers eating hot dogs. I mean, he comes up with some of the wildest things. He was a kind of a health fanatic and so forth, but he shared something the other night in a message that I've never, ever heard him say, and I've read some of his books. I've read about him. I've seen the plane that he crashed in that took his life. He said, I don't ever hardly talk about this, but he said that, and he talks about a time where he was put into prison. Lester Roloff said that he has never been any weaker in his life spiritually than he was the second night that he was in prison. And he goes through a story about how that in that prison cell that night, about 3 a.m., he said the devil showed up. And if you know anything about Lester Roloff, he could tell a story, and he talks about fighting with the devil all night long. And he actually admits in that message that I almost lost that battle that night. He said, I honestly thought I was going to lose my mind with all the pressures of all that he had been through and the court battles. And if you don't know anything about Lester Roloff, just Google it and you can look up and read about him, a tremendous man of faith. But even Lester Roloff almost gave in at times. Faith. If you're going to get close to God tonight, it's going to take a step of faith. You're going to have to realize that, you know what, some of your friends may not be encouraging you to love God and get close to God, but you may have to sever that relationship. It may be even a family member that tries to hinder you from getting close to God, and they're pulling you back, and they're holding you back, and you're wanting to make another step, but they're pulling you back another step. It may be tonight you have to sever that relationship. It may be tonight that it's a lack of faith that causes a person not to want to get close to God. You take out of the disciples there, you've got about 11 of them that night that they didn't have enough faith. Come on, you have to understand and admit, you have to be honest and admit tonight that if the other disciples knew they could actually walk on water, all of them would have been outside that ship. But most of them had no faith, had a little bit of faith. In fact, you'll find, you know the story how that verse 30, he sees the wind boisterous and was afraid and began to sink in verse number 30, and he cried saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand in verse 31 and called him and said unto him, O thou of, what's those next two words? Little faith. That might be the whole point of the whole story here tonight, the whole passage. That's probably the primary, may be the reason for all of them. Lack of faith. Thirdly tonight, and I'm going to hurry real quickly here, I think there's another reason why a lot of people choose not to go to church. They choose not to get close to God. They don't care anything about God, the house of God, and they live their life separate from God and the existence of God and the knowledge of God. Can you imagine living life without God? I mean, this world's crazy. We've talked about it all day. I mean, this world is completely dark. It's upside down. It's a nut house. Can you imagine being lost and not having an understanding of the Word of God? Can you imagine living tonight with no hope that it's going to get any better? They just live life and survive the day. Man, I'm so glad tonight. I'm not surviving. I'm living tonight. I'm glad tonight. Hey, dear friend, this is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hey, I've got a better home that's waiting on me. Some will not get close to God tonight. And maybe even we could say even that's the reason why many will not even go to church or come to church tonight is because they have a fear of having to change their lifestyle. Did you hear me tonight? Probably the number one reason that most people will not visit with you to church, and they have no desire to know God, they have no desire to get close to God, because they're afraid if they get involved that they'll have to change the way they live. And in a lot of ways, they are right. But I don't think it's that I have to change the way I live. I think it's I want to change the way I live. Because of Christ and because of the Holy Spirit of God and because He dwells inside of me tonight, there is a yearning inside my soul tonight to want to be close to God. I want to be like Christ. I want to change my life for Him. I want to be more like Him tonight. But not many today wants to change their lifestyle. You see, tonight, most people believe that's on the outside, that they're afraid that if they come to church that they'll have to live a different way. They'll have to change the way they live. They'll have to change the places they go. They'll have to change the way they talk. And to be honest with you, a lot of people are not willing to give that up. You see, tonight, if you really think about it, the presence of God, listen to me, do you understand, do we understand as you study the presence of God, the presence of God in God's Word has always demanded holiness. I never really thought about this until today, and I was putting some thoughts down and got to reading a little bit more and so forth. But you find God, and when people come in the presence of God, there was always a demand of holiness. That's why in the Old Testament we called it the Holy of what? Holy of Holies. We could give a lot of examples, and I'm going to hurry. I'm already out of time. You take Moses. You remember when he got around the burning bush and God spoke to him through the burning bush? You remember that? And God told him something. You need to do what, Moses? Put off your what? Put off your shoes. Why? You're on what? Holy ground. And I'm going to study that even more, but it seems like every time I find the presence of God, God always demands a change unto holiness. We don't talk a lot about holiness anymore. We even have a song in our psalm book called Holy, Holy, Holy. See, tonight, the more you get close to God, the more time you spend with God, and I find, and maybe it's just in my life, but I find the closer I get to God and the more I'm around God, the more I want to change who I am. It's just a natural thing to want to be like Christ. Now, I think we'd all agree tonight, Christ is very different than the world we live in tonight. I believe this. I believe that our lifestyle portrays often to many people and actually reveals whether we're actually close to Him or not. We're all afraid we're going to have to give up something. And I don't even think that's the right terminology, because I don't think we give up anything for Christ. You know, sometimes you hear people give a testimony. Well, I had to give up my old ways. You know, you didn't give up nothing, man. Oh, I had to give up drinking, and I had to give up my wicked lifestyle. Really? We had to give it up? I don't even know if that's the right terminology. I don't think we give up anything to become a child of God. I think it's a gift. And boy, when you get saved and God starts dwelling inside of you, and the Holy Spirit of God moves inside the life of a believer. I just believe that things are going to change, dear friend. Do you know who Brother Tony Hudson is down in Tennessee? He's a big giant of a man, and he was preaching one day, and he got to preaching on this a little bit about God moving inside of you. And he says, "You mean to tell me somebody as big as God moves in and you don't know it? I mean, you think God bump into you every now and then." And I'm afraid tonight that some people just don't want to get close to God because they're afraid they're going to have to make a change. And lastly, and I'll just mention this real quickly, I'm afraid many people tonight do not want to get close to God because they're afraid that they're going to fail. One of the biggest fears that I've ever had in my life when it comes to the work of God is I'm afraid of failure. Brother Richardson, can you pastored here for how long now? 38 years, long time. But somewhere in his life, he was asked to do something for the very first time. I don't know, with me, and I may have given this testimony before, I had a pastor back, Patty and I had just gotten married, very involved in our church, and he came to me one day and he said, "Would you be willing to work with youth and teach the Sunday school class?" And the man of faith that I am, I said, "No." "Well, I can't do that." You mean to get up and what do you say? And we didn't have Sunday school books. You had to come up with your own lesson. And I don't know, I was so convicted about that. I mean, that bothered me so much because I knew deep in my heart the only reason I said no is because I was afraid. Failure. I don't know if I could do that. I'd be too nervous. I'd probably say the wrong things. And I have. I've had times and messages where I said the wrong thing. I probably said about 10 things tonight. My wife will tell me when I get home what I did wrong tonight. And you're going to say things that doesn't come out right. Brother Larry, I thought tonight, how long have you been working and leading some music here? Do you know how long? 10 years? Did you start here, a nursing home? Where was the very first time you ever led music somewhere? Here. Were you not nervous? But he had to conquer that even though there was fear inside. You see, all of us battles fear. And by the way, we could do much more. I mean, we have to be honest tonight. I mean, fear's hindered us a lot in many ways in our lives, I'm sure. Fear of failure. I'm afraid I'll fail. Okay, so what? You fail one time. Have you ever made a mistake in a song? I don't know if you've probably never done this, but I've done it sitting in a pew. We could be going into the second stanza, and I'm starting the third one. And I'm thinking, you guys are off. We've all had failures. Do you realize tonight that Macy's, everybody knows Macy's department store. Do you know that Mr. Macy was fired before he ever began Macy's department store? You know why they fired him? They said, "You won't ever be able to sell anything." I didn't know this, but did you know that Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Sanders? He gave a testimony about the business of Kentucky Fried Chicken that he was fired in every public job he ever had. And he was always told, "You'll never amount to anything." I didn't know this as well. I was kind of trying to get some idea of people that actually failed in life. Walt Disney was fired before he ever started Walt Disney. He was fired in a public job, and here's the purpose and reason they fired him. They told him, "You are not creative enough." But how often do we fail in the work of God because we're afraid that we're going to fail? I honestly believe there were some of those guys in that boat that night that didn't get out because they were afraid. So well, I can understand. I mean, it's out in the middle of the sea. I mean, it's out in the middle of the night. It's 3 a.m. There's a storm. There's waves. Well, you know, fear's natural, and it is natural tonight. Fear is actually a good thing. Fear stops me from going laying in the street out here tonight. I'm not going to go lay down in the street tonight and say, I think I'll just sleep here tonight. I mean, I'm afraid somebody's going to come over that hill and they're going to run over me. I'm afraid. Fear's a good thing in many ways, but when fear becomes a part of you saying no to God, I promise you this evening that it is only setting you up for spiritual failure. You see, somewhere down the road, Brother Richardson had to get up in front of somebody and speak. Brother Larry, at some point, had to be able to conquer enough fear to get in front of people and lead people in a song. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'll preach 3 hours before I'd ever lead you in one stanza in a song. Leading music terrifies me. I don't know anything about music. I've said this before, that song book looks like little birds on a power line going down through there, and I don't know what all them little birds mean. Brother Bradley, somewhere in life, you had to start somewhere for the very first time of getting in front of people. I don't know that he ever gets nervous. I don't know if Brother Larry probably never gets nervous. It just comes natural to him now. But just think for a moment, if Brother Bradley would have said no and never come back and never say yes. Just think this evening, tonight, if Brother Larry tonight allowed fear to stop him, because fear stopped some of them from getting out of that ship. Only one out of all of them makes that step. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this evening.